A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, 25th April 2021. So we'll be continuing from this book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 1. This is a transcript book based on one of my talks. Meditation talk that I delivered at Brother Sui An's house Thursday class, dated 12 September 2013. That was 8 years ago. So I believe today will be our last day of sharing. Then after that, I may continue with the usual meditation reporting and Q&A. Then I also received a request from Sister Chui through the Maikayamita WhatsApp. She wants to understand deeper on the significance of Dana Parami, the Parami of generosity. Dana is the Pali word, generosity is the English word. So when you make offering, you make donation, you have a generous heart. So this generosity parami, in terms of Buddhist understanding, how should a lay person develop the understanding to cultivate it from various point of views? I will cover this topic. Well, this topic is very good, but I have given her a very important answer pointer. To really have the ability to develop true generosity parami, you must cultivate. The more important factor is cultivation. When you cultivate, you develop wisdom and understanding. Unless you develop wisdom and understanding, you cannot really cultivate pure action or pure generosity type of parami. Because most of the generosity that people do, if they don't have the Dhamma understanding or wisdom, is mostly thought-based or mainly thought-based. In order to perform true, pure action or parami free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion and develop the highest possibility of merits and understanding and wholesomeness is to develop wisdom and what we call understanding, so that we will know how to do it with the appropriate understanding. So today, my sharing, after you listen, I believe you will learn, you will develop a lot of understanding, but without cultivation, these are only Dhamma knowledge or theory. You may try to do according to what the Buddha's response is, but without the wisdom and the understanding, your mundane mind is always with the ego, egoic. And behind the ego, there is still this evil roots of greed, or subtle greed, hatred and delusion. So that is the reason why I answer that way. I say more important is the cultivation, to develop the wisdom, to have the ability to perform real generosity parami. So we will start out with the sharing. Turn to page 45. The last time we stopped halfway at page 46, but I would like to go back to page 45 where the last question is. So I will read to you the last question. Okay, this question is from Ingby, Sister Ingby. Sister Ingby asked this last question. So she said, last time, I used to have this wrong understanding that samadhi can only be developed during a formal sitting in meditation or formal sitting meditation posture. But last Sunday during the Heart Sutta class sharing at Wu Ping Ching Sa, which is also Sunday, Based on your explanation, means my explanation, Sister A.B. says she suddenly realized that samadhi can also be developed during training of daily mindfulness. Then she wants to know, is this right? I said, yes, it can be developed. Then there is another question. Brother Teo, I would like to ask, how can we develop samadhi while cultivating daily mindfulness? So this is a very good question. Eh? So I will now share with you my answer. I said, okay, Sister Ingby has asked a very good question, or an incredibly good question, because she had developed some form of mindfulness cultivation already. Earlier on, she thought samadhi can only be developed during formal meditation, when the mind are much calmer and stable. This can happen because your senses are mostly dull or less active during formal meditation. Also, during formal meditation, the condition and settings are usually more conducive for meditation. But when you come out to live life, listen to this part, you are in an active mode, do you understand? Your seeing consciousness, your hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness, they are all actively functioning. Because you have to act, you have to move around, and you have to be aware of so many things, and your thoughts keep on arising. And sometimes the mental hindrances are also there. So in the active state of daily life or daily mindfulness training, samadhi is exceedingly difficult to have. Do you understand? So note this part. Eh? Otherwise, you think it's very easy to train. No. Unless you can train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, you don't stand a chance. That is why it needs to be trained. Means the mundane mind needs to be trained. Samadhi in daily life can only come about when your daily mindfulness is very stable. So this is a prerequisite, daily mindfulness. You have to be mindful in the midst of life. Then you have to have a very stable daily mindfulness. There are two very different types of cultivation, namely formal meditation and daily mindfulness cultivation. The formal meditation alone, to me, you listen, you ask me personally, it's not enough because it is not the real meditation as yet. The real meditation only starts when you have really stabilized that mindfulness and go into the daily life to cultivate the daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. That is when the real meditation starts. Otherwise, you have not really developed the real cultivation. That's the reason why I always tell you all, not until you have stabilized your daily mindfulness and goes into the daily life to cultivate the sati sampajana or mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action and all movement within the present moment as taught by the Buddha under kaya nupassana, the real meditation has not begun as yet. Then the important recap of the six category of cultivation under kaya nupassana. Kayanupassana is the first of the four foundation of mindfulness under Satipatthana Sutta. So Sakyamuni Buddha taught the four foundation of mindfulness, which is step 8 of Avijja Sutta, for you to develop enlightenment and awakening so that you can realize at least anagami shape onwards. And the first of the four foundation is kaya nupassana. And this kaya nupassana is very important. is mindfulness of our kaya. And the Buddha recommended 6 categories of cultivation under this particular first foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of kaya or kaya no pasana. First is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or the Buddha call it anapanasati, followed by the mindfulness of the 4 posture of standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. And then after that, you should cultivate sati sampajana practices, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment. That's why that step you have to do it. Otherwise, you cannot realize the truth, the awakening. Then after that, step 4 is mindfulness of the 4 elements within the body, so that you can see the changes, the manifestation. It's actually the transformation of these 4 elements. When the 4 elements are in balance, the physical body will have problem. Within nature also, when the 4 elements are affected or imbalanced, display, it will create nature's phenomena, which can be very traumatic, or we call it calamity, nature's calamity, or nature's problem. Then after that, we develop mindfulness of the 32 parts of the body to develop deeper understanding that this physical body doesn't belong to us. It's because these 32 parts, when they come together and perform a function, then it arises the physical aspect of the human being. And this physical aspect of the human being, they are your vehicle. And your consciousness trapped inside is your mind. That's why the 5 aggregate of form and mind. So when you understand that all these 32 parts must come together to perform a function, then you give it a name and a concept, a human being. That's how it animates into something like alive. It's for you to understand that all these are dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena. Without condition, nothing happens. Then finally is the 9 stages, mindfulness of the 9 stages of cementary decomposition of the body. We may think this physical body is so beautiful, so handsome when we are young, or when we are going through our puberty, or the better part of our life. So initially, when we look at our youthful physical body, it may appear to us that this is very beautiful. We can do a lot of things with it. This is life. We can really enjoy it. Then during that time, most of us are healthy, energetic, then youthful. Our physical appearance all very good, very beautiful. Then we really can do a lot of things. But then the reality of life existence is we will grow old, we will get sick, disease, and finally die. So decay is a reality. So that part we don't see. That's why the Buddha wants you to see all this. So through meditation, you look at the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition, then you will come to realize upon death, when the consciousness separate and leave this physical body, you are no longer what you think. It's just like the beautiful flower. When you just bought them, they were fresh, fragrant, beautiful. But then, flower is very obvious. You can see their ephemeral nature, their impermanent nature. They decay very fast, within a few days, they decay. Then after that, it loses its freshness, then it starts to smell, it starts to decay and give a lot of foul reality. So for flower, those who do their duty at the altar, or like my wife always maintain the altar, she can see all this. And even your food, your fruits, everything, you keep them overnight, it decay, deteriorate very fast. But our human physical body, the phenomena lasts longer. That's why we don't really see it. Yeah. Then the Buddha wants us to comprehend this so that we are not deluded by it, not deceived by it. So in order to do that, the Buddha asks us to contemplate the 9 stages of cemetery decay. They're during the olden days after you die. They either cremate you, burn you, or they throw you to the Chana ground. Then at the Chana ground during the Buddha's time, you can witness the corpse. After immediately they are without the consciousness, how they decay. Then you start to see the whole process. Finally, what happened? The physical corpse. When the consciousness is no more, when it is only elements, element returns to nature. So the 4 elements disperse. The first 2 to disperse is, of course, as we all know, the wind element and the heat element. These 2 disappear first. Then after that, the pathavi, or what they call the solidity part, or earth element, they will start to break down too. Then the water element also, they start to break down. Then after that, the earth element will become like decay. Then only left the skeleton. Then the skeleton also will decay, less it does. Then it's bone around. That's how the whole 9 stages of cemetery decomposition happened. Then we realize towards the end, it's empty. When it's devoid of consciousness, it doesn't know anything. There is no knowing. Then element being element, it goes the way of nature. That's why it doesn't belong to you. It's not you. They may keep your ash, but that is not you. That is your physical part without consciousness. Only the ash remain. Of course, people may say, for cultivator enlightened being, you can really cremate it properly. You can obtain the crystal, the vibration also. That one is true. But basically, it's no more you. Even when you are with the consciousness inside, that physical body and mind was never you. It was just a vehicle and a tool, chemically conditional for you to come to this world. So in order to see all these things clearly, the Buddha asks us to reflect and contemplate mindfully. When this body is devoid of consciousness, how it decays, how it goes the way of nature, goes through the 4 stages of 9 stages of cemetery decay, then we realize all these are empty, nothing at all. He know you, he know me. So this is to develop the wisdom to root out desire, craving, lust for the human form. So you go through these 9 stages of cemetery contemplation, you will come to realize a very profound truth that this human body is very filthy. When it decay, the smell is very, very foul. Yes, I have a teacher, Achayantra of Thailand, Prachayantra. He told me he stayed with the dead corpse for very long. And he laughingly tells us, he said, the dead corpse of human beings really smell. They are more smelly than the animals, carcass and all those things. So I don't know if you want to find out. You got opportunity, you can try. But for me, not that necessary nowadays. Because most important thing is to cultivate the first 3 category of practices of Kayanupassana, especially the second and third category of cultivation, the mindfulness of the four posture, followed by daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. Those two steps are very important. Then anapanasati, of course, is useful, is helpful. I find it very helpful, very useful. That you really know how to do anapanasati, it trains your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. Then you can actually develop it until it's very calm, very still, and very quiet, until no more breathing. Then the mind enters sati. That's how it should be done. Okay, so we read on. So I finished that part. And even after you have done that, that is only the initial wisdom, because you still have to go through the cultivation of the other three foundation of mindfulness. Namely, Vedana Nupassana means mindfulness of Vedana, or feeling. Then Chitta Nupassana, mindfulness of Chitta, or content of consciousness. Then Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma. Moreover, Kaya Nupassana has six categories of practices, starting with Anapanasati, leading to the four posture, and Sati Sampajana, cultivation. And then you still need to contemplate and reflect on the four elements, the 32 parts of the body, and the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition, which I have explained just now. Then you go into mindfulness of feeling, Vedana Anupassana, followed by mindfulness of Chitta, content of consciousness, or Chitta Anupassana. Then you go into mindfulness of Dhamma, final cultivation of Dhamma Anupassana. There are 5 categories of cultivation under Dhamma Anupassana. The first category of practice is mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances, followed by mindfulness of the 5 aggregates of form and mind. This will enable you not to be gullible and deluded, so that you will not cling on to this 5 aggregate of form and mind, which you tend to think is what you are. That is the human form or the human being, and all those images or concepts that you identify yourself with. Like, I am an engineer, I'm a Chinese, I'm a Buddhist, etc. After that, it teaches you to be mindful of the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases and the 18 sense rhyme, means their respective sense or consciousness, to develop the wisdom. We are tracing the origination factor for the stirring of the mind, then retrospectively reverse it to free your mind. So this is the 3rd category of cultivation of Dhamma Nupassana. Then you move on to the 4th category of cultivation of Dhamma Nupassana, which is mindfulness of the 7 factors of enlightenment that I shared earlier on. Then the last or 5th category of cultivation or practice is the cultivation of mindfulness of the 4 noble truths, which are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That is the reason why the real meditation is still within the 4 noble truths, especially the 4th noble truth, which is Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path practices or cultivation is the meditation, because it can lead to the end of suffering or end or cessation of all suffering. So important recap on the 5 categories of cultivation under Dhamma Nupassana are, as I have categorized it: mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances, mindfulness of 5 aggregate, mindfulness of 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases and the 18 sense rhyme. Then mindfulness of the 7 factors of enlightenment. Then mindfulness of 4 noble truths and its 3 turning. So coming back to your question, in the form of meditation, most people can develop the calmness of mind more easily because the environment and the setting are more conducive. you diligently train yourself in whatever field of expertise, you can become skillful, just like playing badminton or any other games. After you have become very skillful, your strokes and movement on the badminton court will become like very graceful, and you can decide where you want to return your shots or shuttlecock to. You want to serve low, it goes low, and if you want it to return to baseline, it will be able to do just that. It's like you have complete control over what you want to do on the court. Similarly, going to retreat to cultivate formal meditation is just like going to a very conducive place to train your mind. Like you go to a gym to train, to build up your physical, your body exercise, etc. When you are skillful already, what happens? If you do not come out to life to test your skill, to compete with other people of different background and understanding, you may not know whether you have perfected your skill or not. So this part is very important. That's why end of the day, you have to come out to daily life to really test yourself and live life. That is why you need to go into life and interact with people. You must apply what you have learned and trained to by coming out into life. You must go for competition, but that is for games. What we are interested in now is about understanding life, the spiritual life. Spiritual life is to be lived. When you live life, you need to interact with people. Only then can you encounter all of the harsh reality that the Buddha spoke under his First Noble Truth teaching. There is the reality, the eight realities of life and existence, which is birth, old age, sickness, and death. When you are with people whom you don't like, or when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, or when there is separation between loved ones and things of possession that you hold on to dearly, like your wealth, your possession, your business, your career, your reputation, etc. Everything that you think you own. Only when your loved ones and prized possessions start to separate from you, can you check whether you really have the wisdom or not. Without the requisite Dhamma wisdom, you will be afflicted. Fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow and lamentation leading to severe grief, misery, depression and sadness will arise in you. These are the tests. Otherwise, you can become gullible, sitting in the form of meditation, getting fantastic meditative experience. Then you equate it as, this is what jnana or what jhana are all about. And then you think you're already enlightened. But when you come out into life, and you can still be entangled with separation from loved ones and your prized possession, then you will realize that you still can be afflicted. You can still become emotional, angry, and sad. Then what type of enlightenment is that? So to stabilize the samadhi in daily life, you need a very stable mindfulness, daily mindfulness. That is why I always tell you all, when you are in a retreat or in a formal meditation, don't just sit without any understanding. Not much point. Do you understand? There are times to sit to realize the cessation, which is Nibbana. You can also lie down during the formal meditation to understand clearly what is going on. You have to go deep into your consciousness, your awareness nature, and then just let things be and silence your mind. All this can be done, and formal meditation will help. But that training, while in the formal meditation, you cannot live life. But you do need some of the formal meditation training to go deep into the consciousness, means deep insight into our nature, so that the wisdom also can be developed. Because when it comes to cessation of form and mind leading to the realization of Nibbana, it is a totally different understanding, and you need a formal meditation to go into it. Unless it is just only a glimpse or a momentary one in daily life, which can also happen. That is why the realization of sainthood is just one moment of pure cessation of consciousness. That is, form and mind can realize the glimpse of Nibbana. And it is an entire cessation of form and mind within that moment. When the form and mind goes into, when you go into daily mindfulness, you have to start from mindfulness of the four postures. That is why you alternate between sitting and walking. You alternate between walking and sitting in the form of meditation. And because walking is more active, when you can do that, you develop daily mindfulness. Similarly for bowing, it can also develop daily mindfulness when you bow mindfully, body and mind as one. So contemplation, reflection is also a daily mindfulness training. That is the reason why we have a lot of contemplative meditation as taught by the Buddha. The Buddha taught us maranusati, which is contemplation on death, marana nusati, followed by Buddha nusati, the Buddha's nine great virtues, which is contemplation on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Then we got we have Dhammanusati and Sanghanusati, etc. Means we contemplate on the characteristics or the qualities of the Sangha and the Dhamma. All these are anusati to develop contemplative wisdom. Do you understand? So anusati is different from nupassana. You realize the word or not? Anusati. Sati is mindfulness. You contemplate mindfully, to develop the understanding. That one is anusati. Whereas nupassana, nu always have that meaning of contemplation. Passana is to insight into. So when it comes to the four foundation of mindfulness, it's always kaya nu pasana, or vedana nu pasana, or citta nu pasana, and dhamma nu pasana. So nu and anu, they are different. Nu is just to contemplate. So mindfulness of kaya means you develop both mindfulness and no, means you also contemplate. Then together you insight into phenomena. That's why the teaching is very beautiful and is very precise. So I will read on, then you will understand. Whereas passana is to insight into. So vipassana means to insight into we, which are the three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Hence vipassana means a type of meditation that can enable us to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Then we have kaya nupassana. Here nupassana is different again. Kaya means the body, and then you develop mindfulness over this body to contemplate. Means when you develop mindfulness over this kaya, you also contemplate and insight into the three universal characteristics. That is why it is termed kaya nupassana, meaning you develop mindfulness over kaya to contemplate, Then finally, insight into the three universal characteristics. Hence, anusati and nupassana are different, and the Pali words are very distinct. And when you understand, you will know how to develop the appropriate cultivation to move on. So for a stable samadhi, you need a stable mindfulness. You need to develop it until throughout the day, you are most of the time mindful or aware. It does not come overnight. Initially, it's like more and more moments of awareness or mindfulness and less moment of heedlessness or heedless thinking or lost in thought. And this can only come about when the wisdom has started to arise, the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. When your right view has become more and more stable, when you have more and more right view, then avijja, which is ignorant, will start to weaken. And then you will have less and less sankhara activity or content of consciousness or mental activity or thinking. When you have less and less sankhara, it's like you have less and less thinking, less and less thought, less and less mental hindrance. Then from heedless living, slowly it transforms you into heedful living. The moment you are heedful and aware, you are no longer heedless. The heedless thinking and the hindrance of mind has started to slow down and become less and less until one day, no more. That is how you become heedful, which means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. When you are heedful, you are most of the time aware with a lot of clarity. But there is practically no thought at all. You only arise thought when you need to use them to live life. In order to be in that state, listen, your spiritual faculties must be very stable. Otherwise, you cannot reach that state. To reach that state, the wisdom must also arise. So that is the reason why the focus is on, that is the reason why the focus is finally still on wisdom only, because only wisdom free. Even with samadhi, let us say you hold on to the continuous mindfulness, which some people do. They develop anapanasati until it's so stable that they can carry the jhana absorption for 24 hours. I have a teacher who can do that during his younger day. He can hold on to his jhana and maintain continuous mindfulness for 24 hours because his anapanasati is very stable and extraordinarily strong. So if you depend on that samadhi born of energy field like jhana, which is not wisdom, to become peaceful, then those anusaya or latent tendency are suppressed. And you still do not know. That is why in the strong jhanic state, which is the conditioned state of apana samadhi, you must release it out to normal awareness with upachara samadhi so that it is not too strong. If it's too strong, it is not a free mind, but a conditioned state. It does not reflect the real state. It does not reflect whether you have wisdom or not, because you are using apana samadhi, born of a concentrated mind, to suppress whatever defilement or anusaya. So anusaya is latent tendency. Defilement is kalesa. Then there is another term, asava, very strong defilement. And then is as if you are enlightened. So all this energy field or concentration, strong jhanic mind state, can actually deceive you. So when you are in that state, you really believe you are enlightened, because those are states where your mind is so calm, so peaceful, no thought, and there's clarity, except it is not a free mind, it's a conditioned state. It's like you cannot become angry anymore. When you are in those strong jhana state, you have a lot of metta, a lot of loving kindness, and you can be very peaceful. You are also like full of metta and without fear. But when you get old, when you become weaker as age catches up, you lose your ability to enter jhana or to maintain those jhana state, to develop the energy field that you need to maintain those type of jhana experience. Then when they realize that, they start to have problem or they start to have doubt, lingering doubt. Then they start to see that they can still deteriorate and finally suffer. Then they start to become miserable. We are asking questions like, oh, what happened? Because when they compare to the early days when they are able to go into the jhana state, they say, last time with the jhana, it was so beautiful, so perfect, so still, as if you are enlightened. Then after those things are gone, when there is no more condition for them to carry this energy field, they want to get back to those mind state, but they can't get it anymore because their bodily has aged, and over time they can't maintain that jhana mind or experiences. When they realize that they have become so weak and so fragile and so useless, they start to develop fear, because finally old age, sickness and death can still threaten them, because they do not understand what the form and mind really is. They still think this is what they are. That is, the form and mind is what they are, a human being, and this human being, who is the me and the I, cultivate until enlightened. That is why the Sakkaya Ditthi or self-delusion is still there. They cannot break this Sakkaya Ditthi or self-delusion. So when you are doing all this so-called energy field or concentration cultivation, or what they call one-pointedness meditation or Samatha meditation, you will still need to release your concentration or absorption to normal awareness. To cultivate daily mindfulness in daily life, to realize the wisdom, when you cultivate anapanasati wrongly, it can lead to continuous absorption or continuous mindfulness, and sometimes one-pointedness too, for you to cling on and attach to. You also need to release it out. Otherwise, you will get trapped into those states. So when you release it out and goes into daily mindfulness, the daily mindfulness must be stabilized until it becomes very stable. Like there is upacara samadhi. It hasn't entered apana or excess concentration. This can only happen after your mindfulness has entered sati, means mind has entered sati. Then use this heedful state to be aware of everything that is going on in life. Then you use this heedful state to live your daily life and aware of everything that is going on. You will develop wisdom via seeing things as they are. After that, you do not need that type of stable, collected, unwavering mind in apana or upacara samadhi to help you remain peaceful anymore. They are only needed initially for you to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, into the universal characteristics of nature, to realize the wisdom. Because without this upacara samadhi, your mindfulness is too weak, and you cannot see things as they are, where your mind will stir, which means you cannot insight into the universal characteristics of nature as yet. But you cannot be with the moment of awareness without thought, to see via the direct seeing the continuous arising, sustaining and passing away of all phenomena within the moment. This insight can only come about without thoughts. You can only awaken to it via the direct seeing without thought, when your mindfulness and samadhi are very stable. That is, when you can see things as they are within the moment very clearly, and your awareness can be with the phenomena during the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away. There and then, you awaken. You will start to see them very clearly, and later on, you will see them everywhere. There is a reason why I always said, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. You can only do that when your mundane mind has already collapsed and you have perfect mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot see, because the mind without wisdom is always clouded by thought due to avijja, paccayasankhara. The mundane mind always come out and cloud your true nature or true mind and make you heedless. And amazingly fast, you become heedless. So that question is rather important, because by now, you should understand that formal meditation alone does not bring about the real meditation, where you still need to cultivate daily mindfulness, which is the most important. And you must do it until throughout the day, most of the time. I will not say all the time, but most of the time, you are just aware and silent. Body and mind just move as one. The mind is always with the phenomenon, moving as one, either with the physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. They are always one together. Means the phenomena and the awareness, they move as one, or what we call specific phenomena awareness. When you are in that state, you will know. The form and mind will know. Then you start to see a lot of things which you never see before. Because when the mind is silent, there is awareness. And you can start to insight into a lot of things. Not only you are aware of your mental intention and subtle defilement, the subtle suffering and delusion, the minor conceit, etc. Everything else, you start to see them clearly. The mind is so different at that level. It is totally different. And for this to happen, you must go through the cultivation to understand where the mind becomes very sensitive, very, very tranquil, still, and just aware. Otherwise, it is just what I am sharing with you. Okay? Wow, so fast, it's already 10:30, so that time, 10:30, we're supposed to stop. So like today, if you prepare your question in writing, it will be good. You can also ask while you are here, just like Sister Ingby did. So your question is important. I realize with the question, at least I can explain it to you more clearly. You can develop the understanding faster, because you do not ask, you do not know what will happen. Every time when I ask you all, do you have any question? Everybody just look at the floor mat because you are shy. If you want to learn something, you must break free from the shyness. Inquire into it. Who is shy? The thought that perceives the wrong view is shy. It is not you, because your nature is beautiful. That is why no need to hold on to the image of who you are. The ego is shy. Shy of what? The ego is shy of itself. Break it. Be yourself and be natural. Just relax and be yourself. Without thought, who are you? Be with your true nature. Do not try to pretend and act like something else inside there, because your thought tells you to be. The thought say you must not get angry. The thought say you must not have fear. All this is the thought. But without thought, who are you? That is the most beautiful. Without thought, that nature surface, that true nature, which is your true mind, your awareness nature, just aware. The awareness nature, which is just aware, that is most beautiful. So without thought, your nature is beautiful. He know you, no words, nothing, no concept. That's why there is only peace, tranquility, stillness, that nature, the unconditioned. So this is a very important understanding. When you are with your true nature, you are very relaxed and happy. You do not have to suppress your feeling or try to act this way and that way. You can just express it out because you have got nothing to be shy, nothing to worry about what people say, because there is understanding within, and that you are being sincere. When you are sincere, honest and truthful or true to yourself, you are beautiful. Then no more fear, no more emotion, no more shyness, and those egoic thinking, no more. That is the reason why all the shame, etc., they come from your thought process, born of self-delusion. When you understand your mind, when you understand all this, your mind is free, completely free. Then it is so beautiful. You can use it with so much clarity and understanding. And this form of mind is for you to use, because it is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Yet it is not you, do you understand? That is why you can be the happiest person in this world. You can use it, the body, the physical body. Yet you do not have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying, because that is not you. That one element go the way of nature. And finally, you do not have to worry about life anymore, because you just live life. That is real wisdom, leading to the understanding of what life is all about. Not to be deluded by the form of mind anymore, no more clinging to it, worrying about it, and constantly creating all those unnecessarily fear, worry, anxiety, etc. via attachment and craving. Okay, we must end now. So let us do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, then we can make our aspiration. So that is it. Okay, finish. Then after that, we had the closing puja. Oh, it's almost 4 o'clock. Okay, I think before we go for meditation, I will share this part. The Chewie's question. We go to today, my Kaya Mita. Chewie asks a very good question. Okay, so Sui has just take the extract out. Because we had this, there is a charity organization, I think Kiklok Sea Hospital is the first Buddhist charity hospital project in Penang, I think. So they had this, I think it's the opening ceremony or what, I don't know. The NG came to know about it, then sent it for sharing. Then Chewie gave a very good reply and respond. Then after that, he wrote this suggestion to me. So I will read to you so that you can understand. He said, Brother Teo, one of these days, if you think it is appropriate, can you please consider giving us all a Dhamma talk on the meaning of dana, or very importantly, the practice of dana with wisdom. Means dana is a Pali word. Dana means generosity, or what they call generous sharing or kindness to share. Means generosity is a good word. Or we call it making offering, which is dana. So she wants to develop the cultivation of dana with wisdom in accordance with the four Brahma Vihara, according to the needs. Dana with no self, no expectation, no chasing of merits and intelligence. Dana to the Sangha and Dana to all in me, etc. As you see fit. So these four Brahma Vihara, they are the very beautiful Brahma mind state. For you to be born as a Brahma, you need these four. First is loving kindness or metta. Then you have karuna, yeah, or compassion. Then you have mudita or sympathetic joy. Then finally is equanimity mind state, yeah, or upeka. So these are the four Brahma Vihara. Then she continued with the question. She said, it will help reinforce our understanding of the pure act of dana and a deeper appreciation of the practice of wisdom in all our action. Dana being one of the area. I'm not sure I'm putting this across succinctly. All I know is everything action done in a mindfully balanced middle way will take us a step closer to and on the path of enlightenment. It would seem that we must strive to put in right view and right effort, even with dana. Thanks, Brother. Always appreciate your dhamma sharing. So she said, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So actually, she has composed a very good question. That's why I replied to her. I said, I will reply. I will reply them. I read you the actual answer. I said, Chui, message noted, will do. What is more important? Huh? This is the one that you have to listen. Huh? It's the cultivation to develop wisdom. Without wisdom, all the dana that living beings do, or cultivator do, are mainly thought-based action and not pure action born of wisdom and understanding. So this is very important understanding. Then I think Susan of Klang, she understand or understood my message very clearly. That's why she replies, yes, Sadhu Brother Teo. Precise answer, thank you. Then of course there are other responses. Poaching the origins. And I mentioned I will answer your question in today's sharing, 25th April, Sunday. So now I'm answering. And Chui also gave a reply. He said, the understanding of wisdom is very often varied, defined by folks differently. It will be worthy to revisit the understanding and practice of pure wisdom. I personally will find that very, very helpful. Thanks again. I apologize. She said she won't be able to attend your today's session, but will listen to the recording instead. So this is beautiful. We should thank Sister Chui for the good question and creating the good condition for me to share this. Okay, now I will answer her question based on what she requested, so that you all can develop deeper understanding of this topic, dana parami or generosity parami. So in fact, the 10 perfection that the Buddha cultivated, it starts with dana. After dana, the Buddha recommends sila, then meditation, bhavana. That's why we have dana, sila, and bhavana. Then bhavana has two parts, samadhi and panya. So when you cultivate dana, it's a generosity parami for you to develop a lot of wholesomeness. So like what Ingvi in the previous session, she was able to understand the importance of all this dana parami and virtue. That's why she mentioned about the additional miscellaneous vow to enhance her cultivation as a bodhisattva. So I read to you. To cultivate extensively all virtues, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of trials, difficulty, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. So all this extensive virtue, blessing, and merits, they start with Dhanaparami. And Dhanaparami is very important. Yeah, without Dhanaparami, it's like you don't have spiritual wealth to actually support you or to back you up when you need them. In fact, without this Dhanaparami, it's very difficult for you to have wealth and materialistic possession and other things so that you can do this Parami. Because according to the Buddha, there is this law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. So you cultivate generosity. Outwardly, it may look as if you give, you offer. That is like you lost what you own and have. But no, spiritually, whatever you give comes back to you. Because this becomes your inheritance. It's just like you reap what you sow. If you are kind to people, kindness will come back to you. If you are generous to people, generosity will come back to you. So if you want to have the good life, you want to have all this, what they call beautiful inheritance from this Dhanaparami, then you must cultivate them more. So based on Chui's question, it is a very beautiful question. She wants to know how this Dhanaparami can be cultivated in accordance with the teaching, especially the higher aspect of it. How to cultivate Dhana, Parami, without the self. Means pure action without thinking of merits and all those things. So all this, you need wisdom. Without wisdom, the egoic mind can only think of what they call thought-based generosity offering. So according to the teaching, there are two aspects to Dhana which cultivator need to understand. First, the Buddha explained a general principle. He said Dhana can be performed at three levels. The first level is the gift of materialistic thing, means generosity offered using materialistic possession or wealth or whatever that you have, means materialistic gift or offering. So that one is also very wholesome, when you really can help to maybe contribute to charity so that they can do all this wholesomeness. Like you donate to Ciji, you donate to hospital, you donate to temple. They can do a lot of wholesome things. So this one can be in a form of materialistic gift. Then you can also make offering to monks, to cultivator, to eight preceptors, five preceptors. So all these are Dhanaparami, materialistic gift, offering of food, offering of medicine, the four requisite and all those things, offering of shelter or whatever, or building of temple, way place to offer to the Sangha or the Buddha, for them to cultivate. So all these are materialistic offering. So at the level of materialistic offering, a lot of things can be done. A lot of wholesomeness can be done. Even to sustain the Buddhist activity, to promote the Buddhist agenda, so that this religion or teaching, beautiful teaching, can be shared with more and more people. So that more and more living beings can benefit from its understanding. So all these are possible because of generosity parami based on the first level of offering of materialistic gift. Then the Buddha said, apart from materialistic gift, there is another level of offering. He called it the gift of life. And you can do that. That level is much higher than just materialistic gift. So the gift of life is very important. Like nowadays, the gift of life is when you volunteer to serve people so that they can recover. Then some volunteer to donate blood, donate or pledge their organ upon death, organ donation. Or you donate your ability to save people, like you study to become a doctor, or a sensei, or whatever, where you can really save life. So the gift of life means through your generosity, your offering, your dana parami, you can contribute towards the gift of life. And all this are gaining popularity because people start to know. Sometimes when people go through operation, they need blood transfusion, and blood cannot be kept for too long. You need constant donation, contribution. So all these are the various aspects of dana parami that you can do. You can either offer materialistic generosity offering or materialistic dana. Then the gift of life, which is the second level. But the Buddha said the highest is the gift of truth. The gift of truth is not easy. The gift of truth need understanding and wisdom. Of course, the most difficult one is to be like the Buddha, the full enlightenment, and share these beautiful teachings of his, the Dhamma. So that truth come from fully enlightened being, not easy. But if you happen to have the condition to develop insight, awakening, or enlightenment, then you can also give Dhamma talk, or do Dhamma sharing, or Dhamma hold Dhamma discussion, or propagate the Dhamma in whatever way you deem conducive, suitable. So this gift of truth, the Buddha say, is the highest truth. Satya, the gift of truth. Because the gift of truth can really transform living being. From delusion, it become non-delusion. From a heedless way of living, they transform to develop heedful living. And because they change, the world change, environment change, a lot of things change. I remember Master Shen Huang in the early days when 1986, when I recorded his Dhamma talk. I like the way he shared the Dhamma. He said, when you are without greed, your mind is peaceful. When you are without the evil root of hatred and delusion, your mind is peaceful. But in Mandarin, it's very beautiful. He said, 你不贪了，没有贪嗔痴了. He said, without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, 心里就平安了. He said, your mind is peaceful. Your mind is tranquil, still. Then, 心里平安了，世界就平安了. Well, that is a very beautiful thing. He said, when you are without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, your mind will be peaceful, tranquil, calm, with clarity. When your mind is peaceful, calm, and with clarity and tranquility, the world is peaceful. He always end up by saying, 心里平安了，世界就平安了. So when your mind is peaceful, with the wisdom and the understanding, the world will be peaceful. So the gift of truth has this power to make people understand that these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are major evil, root of all evil, make you evil. So you have to root out them. So when you are without greed, hatred, and delusion, your mind is calm, peaceful, tranquil. You will have the good life. You become heedful. You become beautiful. Then when you are peaceful, beautiful, the world will be peaceful and beautiful. So the power of Dhamma has this ability to awaken, to transform living beings, to transform society, to transform humanity. But the numbers are not enough. We only need actually the critical mass, which is less than 1%. If 1% of the population in this world can have the understanding of his teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, the whole world will be beautiful. So the gift of truth, the third category, is the highest gift. That's why we sometimes, through our understanding, we saw certain Dhamma book, which is conducive for propagating the Dhamma or sharing of the Dhamma. We will make offering and donation to print those books. That's why if you cannot teach, cannot share, you can also participate in helping out to maybe bring about causes and conditions for all these Dhamma books, like my transcript book and whatever material that we develop through our sharing, the video, the audio file, the transcript book, and all those things. We use only Kayanamita funds to make the contribution to participate in this wholesomeness. Yeah, this is a very powerful parami. That's why Kayanamita fund has very unique quality. Then only Kayanamita within our circle can help prepare all these things. That's why this is meant to support our Kayanamita, so that all this Dana Parami, the wholesomeness, can bring forth the causes and conditions for our Kayanamita to progress along the path of Dhamma. Where this wholesomeness, this merit, especially our website and our books, or what they call transcript book, and all our audio file, video file, can help many people, can help a lot of cultivators, practitioners, and maybe future cultivators. And this one may last very long, and this teaching is very unique. Even the Bodhisattva vow and all those sharing, they are very profound, very beautiful. So the gift of truth is the highest of all the three level of giving. So I repeat, summarize. The gift of materialistic thing is the first level. Then the gift of life, second level. Then the gift of truth, the third level. Then apart from this, the Buddha also mentioned, he said, for you to develop further understanding of generosity parami, you have to understand the mind state behind your offering. Under Abhidhamma, the Buddha taught the monk three very important criteria. You can fulfill these three, no matter what level of dana parami you do. It can be materialistic level, or even gift of life, or gift of truth. You have these three things, then it is considered the highest gift. So I will read to you the Pali first, then hopefully you can develop the understanding. So the Buddha mentioned, he said, so manasa sahagatang jnana sampayutang asangkalikang. These are the three conditions. If you can fulfill, then that merits whatever level, whether materialistic or gift of life or gift of truth, it constitutes the highest parami. So first one, so manasa sahagatam. What is the meaning? So manasa, sometimes I like to use the Malay words or Sanskrit word. like our Malay words, sumo masa, somanasa, like sumo masa, means at all time, before you do that merit, that offering, when you do that offering, and after you have done the offering, you are having this joy, happiness. That is somanasa sahagatang. Sahagatang means having this joy. Before you do that merit, you have that joy you want to do. Then when you do, there is even more joy. Then after you have done it, there is still joy in you. And you rejoice so much in that parami, that wholesomeness, where you can see and witness that you get to help people, relieve people's suffering, and contribute towards society, humanity, and serve the poor, the sick, those who need help. So all these are very wholesome. So the first criteria, most people have the ability to satisfy, but not at the three stages or three levels. Most of them, when they want to do, of course, there is this joy to do, but they don't really have very strong joy unless they have the understanding. It's just like when I heard about Master Xuan Hua's third coming to visit Malaysia in the year 1986. There was very strong and deep joy where I vowed to do all those generosity or wholesomeness that I was not able to do when I was a student, when I met him twice in the University of Malaya. I intend to compensate for all the year. After that, 1986, I already came out to work for 7 years. I graduated in 79. So I want to compensate for all the things I miss out. So I want to do it. So there was so much joy, and I prepared for it. Then when I did it, there was even more joy because there were conditions. Everything fall into place. Then after that, I used to have that understanding, that memory. That's why I always share all this, because I felt it, the joy before I do, when I do, and even after I do, there was so much joy. But after that, I realized my aspiration come true. My whole family take refuge. Then I received the Dhamma. I received so much things. I evoke power of merits. So all these are very beautiful understanding. So first condition is somanasa sahagatang. You can develop that. Whatever dana parami you do, it is considered as one of the prerequisites for highest merit. Somanasa sahagatang means rejoice before you do, when you do, and after you do. Then jnana sampai yutang. Jnana is wisdom. You must do with wisdom, do with understanding. If you have wisdom and understanding, you know this parami is very wholesome, full of goodness, full of wholesomeness, full of blessings, and is very meritorious. Then there is wisdom. There is understanding. That's what you will do. You will not do because people tell you, hey, go and do lah, this one very good. You don't have the faith, you're not sure. Sure, I donate, I can get married. Then there is the mundane, my ego, my considering already. Then there is this intent to get married. Means your action is born of what? Born of that greed. It may be a subtle greed, not a very strong greed, to get them married. Otherwise, you don't want to do. That's why you must have wisdom when you want to do the dhanaparami. You must study the Dhamma, cultivate the pariyatti, and understand that this is very important. That's why the Buddha start with dhana, then keep your precepts, sila, then only meditate, bhavana. Like that clang talk that I gave, the house dana, at Nancy's house, that brown book, is very good. Because I explained dana, sila, and bhavana. When you have dana parami, you can gain materialistic wealth. You can also have the good condition to inherit whatever generosity that you have given. Then with that, you will have enough for your own family, your own life, and maybe surplus. And because of those conditions, because of your dana parami, you have time to meditate. You can retire early, like what I did. Then you can have the means to attend retreat, to attend to Dhamma class. You don't have to work. Then you can listen to Dhamma sharing. You can spend more time on cultivation instead of working for money. 9 to 5, like my daughter now can retire early and do the thing she likes to do in life. So all this come from her dana parami, her inheritance of what she has done. Even this life, she also do a lot of dana parami, help people make offering, donation, and share Dhamma understanding with people. So this is what the teaching is all about, Dhamma is all about. When you have Dhamma, dana parami, it paved the way for you to have the good life, so that you have condition, better condition, to cultivate while you are early, young, and still healthy. Otherwise, you wait till you already 60, 70 only, you start learning the Dhamma and want to go retreat. Then here, ache, there, ache, like some of the 70, 80 years old auntie and uncle. Telling me you're all very lucky, you all encountered the Dhamma early. It's not to say they are lucky. They have this determination to go this way. That's why they're dana parami, everything. Then some, they don't have the luxury to retire. They still have to work, even very old. Sometimes they say, I cannot retire yet because I still got to support my family, my children's education, and many other things. I still got a lot of responsibility, liability, mortgage, debts, and all those things. So without dana parami, all this cannot kick in. Then with dana parami, you can solve a lot of problems. I used to share with a lot of paramita. If you have the means, the three types of happiness that the Buddha talked about, you can experience them. The happiness of possession means you have gained all this wealth through the proper means. That is the joy you can have. Then the happiness of able to use this possession and wealth for the good of your many, for yourself, your loved ones, and even to help others. And this is dana parami, understand? So there is also a joy. That's why you must have joy, somanasa sahagatan, joy, while you do, before you do, and after you do. So all these are very beautiful. So when you understand, you realize dana parami is very important. That's why we start with dana parami. So when we have dana parami, we have the means, we can help a lot of people. Then I used to tell them, if you have the means ready, don't be too petty, don't be too calculative. Whatever money can resolve, resolve it. Why you want to hold on to all your money? You can make people more happy, feel better, and resolve misunderstanding. You should use. You can treat your loved one to a proper meal, or maybe make their life better, fund their education, or whatever you have the means. Why not? There's a lot of joy. Then when you do all this, this becomes wholesomeness, merits, blessings. And these are your virtue that you accumulate. So when you have all this, you can create the environment and condition for you to spend more time on learning the teaching, cultivating the teaching, means develop parayati, then put it into cultivation in daily life, so that you can work on all this. That's why I started early at the age of 17. I searched and I went into all this. Then I was blessed because I achieved the pinnacle of everything I do. I reached the pinnacle of my academic life, my career. Then after the academic life, I achieved materialistic success because my career also, I reached the pinnacle of it. I experienced everything. Then I developed financial freedom. That's why I retired early. Then I do the thing that I like to do. Then I was able to develop the cultivation when I was very young. So before I reached the age of 35, a lot of things I already developed the understanding and awakening. So that is the beauty. Then after that, the fourth thing that is very difficult for lay people to achieve, my nature also achieved. The family, what they call family unit, that is very peaceful, with a lot of understanding and a lot of harmony within the family unit. So to have a good family unit, peace within, with a lot of understanding, and everything goes the Dharma way, is very, very rare. Most people's family has problems, seldom have harmony, understanding, and unity. That's why they have this saying, every family has their difficult chanting. Jia jia you ben nan, nan nian de jing. So all this, you can witness them, and they are everywhere. So the Dana Parami will let you have the ability to have the peace of mind. You have less problem. You can keep your precept. And when you keep your precept, you don't violate them. There is no karmic negativity. Then whatever you want to resolve, you can resolve it because you have the means. So what you need is to cultivate wisdom after that. That's why with Dana and Sila, Samadhi kick in. Without Dana and Sila, you cannot meditate. Samadhi and Panya cannot come about. So when you have Dana and Sila, means your precepts, morality, then your mind becomes peaceful, tranquil, conducive. You have less problem. Well, you don't have to cheat. You don't have to deceive. You don't have to like do all those negative things. And you will have this understanding not to have the evil roots of getting angry, fearful, worried, all this no more. That's why Samadhi kick in. The mind become peaceful, quiet, tranquil. Then it realizes the stability. It become unwavering, collected, and very stable. That is what Samadhi is. Then it can see things as they are. It can awaken. That's how from Dana you develop Sila. From Sila, you develop Samadhi. Then Samadhi develop Panya. So Dana, Sila, Bhavana, and Panya. So Noble Eightfold Path is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Dana is the generosity parami, the first. Without that, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya cannot kick in. So when there is Dana parami, it's very conducive. Then you can keep your sila, you can do a lot of things because you have the dana for. Otherwise, 3 meal also not certain. Food and shelter also a problem. Do you think this type of people got the luxury of time to cultivate or not? They say 3 meals also I have problem. Food and shelter also a problem. Don't come and talk to me about religion or dhamma. That is always the case. That's why you must have Dana Parami. Dana Parami is very important. Then I have to come to the last part. The last part is most important and most beautiful. So, Somanasa Sahagatang, Jnana Sambayutang, we have gone through. Jnana means with wisdom. Asankalika, the third condition criteria for highest merit. Asankalika means spontaneous, unprompted or spontaneously it arises. Means with the understanding and the wisdom, you don't need people to prompt you. You don't need people to tell you, hey, There is Dana there, no? The monks are very famous, the monks are very good. You should attend, you should do donation and make offering. Because the moment you saw the condition, the opportunity, there is just this spontaneous intent to do. You no need to wait for people to prompt you. You no need to have the doubt and ask, sure, I do, I get. Then this one is all prompted. But initially is when you don't understand, you need people to introduce you to the Dhamma. So there is some form of prompting. Then they teach you, you do Dana, you do what, then you will receive merit. Of course, initially you have to learn all this. But all these are mainly without understanding. So you do, it's just like I say, thought-based. Means, oh, I heard this person say, you do like that, you will receive merits. But the danger of that kind of merit is, I realize a lot of even books or booklet or leaflet or even Buddhists who promote this type of so-called Dana Parami, they make it into something like, maybe I give you an example that you understand, because it's not really accordance with the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma or the teaching. They go to the extent and tell you, hey, you want to do this type of Dana Parami, hey, you must remember, no, if you offer to a non-sila person who don't keep the five precepts, you need to make, don't know, 100 or 1,000 offering, only equivalent to one who keep the five precepts. No? Then if you offer to one, I forgot already, they mentioned, don't know, 100 or 1,000 five preceptor, is only equivalent to one who keep the eight precepts. Then he said, if you offer to one 10 preceptor, is better than, don't know, 100 or 1,000 of these eight preceptors. Then he said, you offer to monk. So this kind of teaching has been going around. So what does it bring about? It brings about the delusion and the greed to do merits, not based on need, causes and condition and understanding. Because the true teaching is, when you really make offering with the joy, with the understanding, and spontaneously, based on understanding, that merit is so much higher than those tinted merits. Tinted by what? By trying to analyze and calculate. This is more meritorious. So they don't want to offer to ordinary human beings. They want to offer to virtuous being, cultivator, or those things. Then some want to offer personally. If they don't offer personally, they don't feel good. So a lot of this type of misunderstanding and misconception come about. My nature's understanding is very simple. If there is somebody on the street that has the condition, but don't be a good-hearted fool. This one also you have to be careful. If there is a real need for help and all that, there and then spontaneously you have the means and you can respond, you should respond. Well, you never know, all this can come back to you. You reap what you sow. When you do this, help out, then in future you will have this parami. People will help you. There will be a cultivator or people with that type of condition. They will surface and manifest to help you. So you just do, act. So sometimes when you give to a beggar, or not necessarily a beggar, to a poor person, you may not know this person in the future who he is, or his nature, his parami. And a lot of great beings, cultivator, they come in the form of beggar. Very simple people, especially Kuan Yin, they manifest in very simple way, even Wen Su and all. So you never know. So, when there is condition for you to do, that's why the Buddha said, avoid all evil, do good wherever there is condition. But don't try to do good, understand? That one is a greed. When there is no condition, also you want to help, you want to do, That one creates repercussion. No. When it does not hurt you or harm you, like the Buddha said, if the advice given, like the Kalamas, you inquire, if I follow the instruction and advice, does it harm me and does it harm others? If it does not harm you and harm others, well, do. You have the means, do. But there must be condition. If there is condition, means you do, otherwise don't. Means, if they want to be helped, then it's different. Then you can help, you can manifest. But if they don't want to be helped, don't try to keep on as well. That's why people try to convert other religion. I say, forget about it. There's sometimes their own like siblings or their own parents or their own loved one or related one. They say, hey, they don't know the Dhamma, no, I must help them now because they are my parents. They are, forget about it. If there is no condition, just let things be. But when there is condition, things will happen. Then sometimes, even the first time, you just let it be. The condition keep on coming back, then you know, this one is meant to be. This person has affinity. There is condition for you to manifest and help. Either he's coming in the past, he helped people before. Now you have this understanding, you can help him. You will manifest and help. That's why people whom I don't know, also I help. So sometimes it's my own brothers and sisters, I can't help unless there is condition. I will not share or not speak. There's no point. Understand? So this will cover the whole spectrum and understanding of Dana Parami, that my nature has developed the understanding and I've been following all this understanding and principle to develop them. And the perfection of Dana Parami can reach many, many levels, much higher when you have developed the cultivation. That's why my emphasis is still cultivate. When you have the understanding and the wisdom, when you have straightened your view, then you will have real virtue, real understanding of what Dana Parami is. Then you will do with your understanding. That's how it can be done, as a pure action. Then one more example is during the time of Bodhidharma, remember? There was an emperor in China who invited him over. He was full of joy after he built so many temples, supported the monks, the translation of the scripture and all this. Then he was so happy to meet up with Bodhidharma. Then one day he asked Bodhidharma, what do you think is my merit? He said, I have built so many temples, supported the monk in such a great way, developed so much translation parami to assist in the translation of the teaching, you know. The surprise answer for Bodhidharma was, he said, he told the emperor, none, zero. The emperor cannot get angry, cannot show his unhappiness because he respected Bodhidharma. But he cannot understand why Bodhidharma says zero. Not until later he met a very good monk who explained to him, he said, what Bodhidharma told you is the truth. We have to Bodhidharma, he's an enlightened being. So when you talk to him about merits, it's not the tinted merit, because the emperor wants to know how much merit he has. Means when you do all this generosity to help in the propagation of the Dhamma and give all the materialistic support for the Sangha and all those things, you are doing out of what? The subtle intent for the merits, understand? Means what? Your action is based on that merits. Means you act based on the intent to receive that merit. Even the subtle merit, the subtle intention, there is a form of greed, understand? Subtle greed is still greed. So it's tinted merit, it's no more pure merit. That's why. To Bodhidharma, if you want to talk about merit, he's an enlightened being, it has to be pure merit. Otherwise, zero. That's why these are tinted merit. So the fifth patriarch also told the monks, you remember? He asked them to write down the stanza so that he can pass over the sixth patriarchship to whoever who can write Buddhist understanding or the four stanza, to show that he has the understanding that worthy of the transmission of the patriarchate, he will transfer to that person. So he told them, don't waste any more time on tinted merit. He used this word. Don't just go and cultivate tinted merit. Want to do good and all this. He said, hurry up. Be heedful. Strive on with heedfulness to develop wisdom, to liberate your mind, to free your mind. Tinted merit will not help you when you're about to die or when you die. The pure merits are more important. And without wisdom, without enlightenment, you cannot have pure merits, true merit. So that was the reason why I answered to Chui and told him, what is more important is the cultivation to develop the wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no real merit, no real virtue. You cannot have pure merits. You cannot do with understanding. So a lot of people confused by wanting to do merits. But without wisdom, your merit is tinted, most of the time limited, not really that type of value or understanding. I give you another example is, you may go and do all this materialistic gift, the gift of light or whatever. But if you cannot have a moment of pure thought, you know what is a moment of pure thought or not? Without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, means without the egoic mind. That pure mind, that single pure thought, is so meritorious. That's why in the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, it's mentioned a moment of pure thought is far more superior than all the offering of the seven treasure in the what they call universe. When you offer them, it doesn't match a person who has the wisdom to teach the Diamond Sutta. You remember? Whoever who read this sutta can understand and share this with the world, the merits, that's why the giver of truth is the highest, that this particular cultivator received is much more than the materialistic gift. The seven treasure of the universe, even you offer to all the Buddha of the three period of time, the Bodhisattva, the enlightened being, the merits that they accumulate cannot match the merits that the enlightened being who have understood the Diamond Sutta and teach them to the world. Just imagine the one cultivator who can arise a pure thought is the enlightened being without evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, and have clarity and understanding of the Dhamma. And when you really teach, that's why after your cultivation reach certain stages, you no longer have that desire or craving to do merits. Like in the early day, I used to share with you a lot of time. You tell me which monk we have. I can't. Unless there is condition, I will not do. But I cannot chase after all this anymore. Well, all this is based on understanding. When you have reached that level of cultivation where most of the time your nature is so pure, you no longer have those mundane mind that is chasing, deluded and doing all those things, then what is there for all this type of materialistic gift and even the so-called gift of life, gift of whatever? So when you understand, it's no longer that desire or craving to do good, no more. It's the understanding. When there is condition, it will still manifest. I can still do, I will do. But if there is no condition, it's just let things be. There's no more meaning. That's why when you reach that level of understanding and cultivation, you do things differently. Okay? So with that, I think I will end my sharing. Then we can have maybe today shorter meditation. I give you 20 minutes. Right now is 4:50. So 20 minutes of meditation. So we will of the light, then we will have 20 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind, silent your mind, and develop 20 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Then after that, we can have our sharing. And we can continue with the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer and discussion on today's topic.
I would like to share about the subject of the
dana.
Okay. Before I join your the Buddhist circle, myself also I have maybe you call it wrong perception of how people do dana.
Yeah.
This was brought up by a family friend who is a Christian. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes we cannot blame them for having a wrong view of what Buddhists do.
Yeah.
Okay. She have a good friend who always make a lot of dana to the monks.
Yeah.
And she always make sure she, because that lady is quite rich, she always make sure she give the best of everything to the monks.
Oh, okay.
But one day she told my friend and said, "Oh, I'd like to give you some durians." So my friend said, "Okay, she will take it." But when she went there, the durians were not in good condition already. And this lady got the cheek to tell her, "Oh, you know, we must not waste food. So that's why I'm giving it to you." She was so upset, and she had a lot of criticism of how we Buddhists do dana. So I would like to tell Buddhists, please be careful with what we do, because we create very wrong perceptions of what we do when this type of things is done. Unfortunately, I also say a few more things also lah. I also got my heedlessness at that time, without how to say, without understanding. It has this lady is what she is lah, you know. She does what she thinks is right. Okay?
She is the way she is. Christian background and all this.
No, because if you do that, you cannot help that the other people view us negatively. Right?
Maybe Bratio, 我讲讲我最近的 cultivation 吧，哈。
可以啊，那个会很好啊。
我也要 Bratio 的 guide。
可以，没问题。
因为最近就是好像那个很多 test。很多 test 来 test。就是。你在当下哦，你就不能在，好像 Radio 讲的，你没有那个 Unison Manasikara 来 来 prompt 你哦，你的 mind 就很容易被
对，
你之前你就又觉得好像是，很平静，你很像很平静这样子，可是就他就一下子连接的，就是来。其实当我听到我的孩子讲，他跟我讲，哦，我要搬出去住的那一刹那哦，哇！
Yeah, our parents will react because your own children,
wants to go. 是。然后我理解之后，对，然后我就讲 OK 咯，是你们要有你们的天下嘛，然后我就讲 OK，然后我就心想，我们还有一个家在那边，然后我就心想，哦，要不然你们就你住这边，我搬回去舅家那边，然后我们就可以，然后。Everyone has their own privacy
Own space, yeah.
对，然后我就以为我可以接受这个这个 condition。我也以为他们 OK，
可
是他们，对他们不是要这样的，对他们就是所想的，他们就是要
他们
要的
啊，年轻人的思想不一样。
对对，就他就 like no。我 like I told you before, I said, 哦，他带我去看那些家，哦，
yeah, yeah.
还有我不懂得怎样去，去在当下怎么样去 handle 这个 condition, 就是你一进去那种家，哦，
yeah, you got a,
哎呦，
yeah,
那个很 eerie 的 feeling, 还有很，就是把我 to the extent, 我简直好像我不懂是什么问题，他就是弄到你很想吐，很不舒服 ，you know？ 是
啊，
就这样，我就没多说了，我就跑出来外面，就站在外面等他们。
啊呀，没事的 ，you can just share your experience。
啊，所以我就
when you want to buy a house， 最重要就是 the feeling。Whoever want to buy a house， if you go in。Before the thought come in, you don't feel good, or you sense something eerie or not right. Forget about that house. This is not conducive. It's not appropriate for the person or that person's karmic condition. Means there are some beings there or certain thing that is not in harmony. That gave rise to that feeling. You were no one. You were no one. Then sometimes it's a message. But never mind, because your son is looking for a home. So let him go through. Then let him relate to you what they want to tell you. Then you only share your experience. Then your advice, of course. So let them make their own decision. Build their life. So how like that?
后来我就跟他讲我的 feeling 这样子，
哎呀，
然后他 as usual a lot of justification came out, a lot of
yeah, just let things be, because his、
yeah.
his choice, his decision. So 你说妈妈是 advice 你不了啊，不是要泼冷水还是？so 你说up to the children to make their own decision. But more important is, like I explained that day to you during the, I think Sunday, was it? No, Saturday morning brunch. Huh? I said, more important is there is a lot of choice and opportunity nowadays, because a lot of people find it difficult to get loan and property sales are everywhere more and more now.So you will have a lot of choice. So take your time to look for them, then decide later so that your choice is more. So 给他们了解了，就 let them make the final decision, because their life, their decision, you have to let them go through. And if it's meant to be, will be. Otherwise, just let things be.Where there is a limit to what we can do. So your intent has to be pure. Pure means not because of selfishness, you want to discourage him and all those things. It's because this is how you feel. Then you just share your views, no problem, and your advice. Then the rest is up to the children. So this is the best, because when we have the Dhamma,we identify things very clearly. Miss, your career, your life, you decide. My career, my life, the thing that involves me, I decide. So that is the best way to actually let things be and treat people the way they are.
Somehow,他心里面有好像也不开心，我又觉得很讲
讲是，because it is his way of doing things. So 你要解释给他听罢了吗？这妈妈是 advice 罢了 ，you don't have to worry. 你自己 make the decision 啦。If you feel you like, then you tell us, then we see how it goes. 如果他自己有那个 ability 能力 then of course they don't need your decision but if they need your support of course you have the right to say something so finally the decision is up to them for me it's very simple if you cannot afford if you're going to create a burden then please because I can only do what I can so the rest is up to them so if they can afford they have the means then no problem then of course you say as parent we can support you in whatever limited way then we will support but apart from that we feel that this is not the time for you to commit and spend on such expensive property if you feel that that is the true sincere reason then you can share it no problem so 就是要了解情形罢了没事的but if it's their own decision based on the ability of their own means they have the means to actually fund it, finance it then you shouldn't interfere for me I will not interfere with his money his decision if he want to do it it's up to him then as parent if you want to support them in whatever way we can express it sincerely okay up to this amount I think we can help you apart from that we don't think it is fair for us to come up with more of this money because if you can't afford my advice is don't buy such a big house you can afford it's different you go ahead where this is your life you make your decision ni you go you have the understanding I think it will not be a problem I don't seem to have this type of problem. You can ask my daughter, you can ask my wife. My son also looking for a house, but no problem. Yeah, he know how to plan, know to, he told my wife, yeah, my wife that day was worried that he may not have enough down payment. I say, you don't worry about all this. Then when my wife saw it, my son told him, Ayo, mom, please lah, don't. He said, if I want to buy a house, I must make sure I know all this. You don't have to worry about all this. That's why they know how to plan. Then they want to move out early on, also same. I told my wife, let them make the decision because they have discussed. My son is very good. He discussed the issue with the girlfriend at that time, then later on become the wife. Then they came to a consensus. Then they want to move out. Then my son also told me, hey, daddy, 不要再 discuss 这个了。The decision is already made. I said, no problem, go ahead. So let them have their own space. Then they feel good because when we were young, we are saying we also have our own space. Although we are more simple, we buy simple house, we buy affordable house, then we start our life. So they also find it fun to initially rent. They move out, but they rent a place. They have their own unit. In KL, which is very nice, but distant. My son's criteria is must be near to my house. That's why, in that sense, he's very good. Then the other thing is also he intend to rent somewhere nearby, conducive. So they find that place which is very conducive. So it end up well. Then they had their own space. Now they even go for a pet. They actually bought a dog. The species. It's a beagle. I told you that day. And they really have a lot of fun with that dog, beagle. So that's life. So let them enjoy it. Wherever we can help and assist, we do. So, 了解了就没事了。Okay, Alicia, you have to go through. Yeah, you have to go through.
因为其实这个不是重点，重点是我们要怎样去 overcome 这一个，就是那个在佛法的角度去看待这整个事情，而不是去 很坚持某一个看法这样子罢了。其实我知道这个其实是我的 habit 来的 habit
就不是。你要了解就是佛法的 approach is based on understanding. When you understand, you act. You act with understanding. You don't use memory. You don't use your own conditioning, your own belief system. So all those things is beside the point. You act with understanding. And what is understanding? From forefather 角度, 就是 you respect him for what he is, although related to you, you give birth to him, he is your children, but they are alive. Let them live. Let them make their own decision. It's not about right and wrong anymore. If they have the means, let them go ahead. Because they are alive, their money, their freedom. But if they want to own something that is beyond their means, your duty is to advise. Can you afford? Are you sure this is what you want? Will it burden you? And sometimes my wife also have some suggestion which is good. If the house is big, if you have maintenance problem, later on the two of them will suffer. Then you can tell them through experience, you buy a house to stay. You not buy the house to impress people and all those things. But some people, they want to do that because of status and all those things. So what is important is when it comes to owning a house, my wife always say ease of maintenance, easy to maintain and all that. Otherwise, it creates more burden and more problem, more suffering. But all this can be resolved, like what you all went through. You got the kaka to come, the temporary maid and all things. So my son and my daughter-in-law, they also managed to get a temporary maid from my wife. My wife used to use that company, and they find it very conducive, very useful. That's why now they are very happy. So a lot of things, my daughter-in-law or my son's wife, they consulted my mother, my wife, and they get along very well. So this is how it should be. So their life, let them live, let them decide. And if they need advice, they will come back to you, because this is how you have brought them up, and they appreciate. They really appreciate. So 佛法的角度来看呢, 就是 wisdom, understanding. 你有了 understanding wisdom, you consider their feelings. It's their life. Let them live. Let them decide. 我从来都不要 interfere or 不要去 suggest anything unless there is condition. If there is condition, they need my advice or what, then I will share. But I always make it very clear. This is my way of understanding. I look at things differently from you all. So my advice is this one. But finally, it's your life, your decision, your choice. You decide. I will not interfere. Otherwise, it becomes very complicated. Then lay people have problems because too much opinion about things. Why you want to? Your parents tend to have this tendency to help them to save money. But children think differently. To them, it's not about saving money. It's the house that they want. So they have certain ideal of what type of house, what location. And maybe initially at that young age, they think differently. So we need to have that type of understanding to accommodate their thinking. Then it will be different. Then we will not feel like, why my children like that? Why they want to burden themselves? No, it's not about why. There is no right and no wrong. My duty is to advise. Then my advice is very simple. You can afford, go ahead, no problem. But you cannot afford, better think twice. After that, you make your own life difficult, burden yourself for nothing. Then that time you try to make certain decision which can be very awkward. Because after you commit, it's a big commitment. That's why my son used this to reply to my wife. It's very good. He said, at my level, if I don't know even how to budget and plan, then I should not be talking about buying a house. That's why it's very good. So all these are the understanding. 应该是没事了，嗯，了解了，
没事了，不、
啊、
就其实是一个、啊、一个过程了，
呀，过程，嗯、啊，
过程，对对对，嗯，
因为我们的 old thinking 呢思想是这样的，因为我们是 first generation children， like I explained to you all， first generation we tend to be more thrifty， 嗯、啊。More like realistic to life， 就好像你们 Cantonese 讲啊，你的头没有那么大，就不要戴这么大的帽。so if you don't have such a sizable head, don't wear such a big head. That is precisely the good analogy. But their life always remember.Because we are from the conservative tradition, our era is we are from the first generation. Means our parents cannot give us much support. We have to survive ourselves. We have to everything rely on ourselves. Then when we make it in a very proud way.That we can be proud of what we have achieved. But the second generation kid is different, you like it or not, that they have the support of a good family, a successful family. So sometimes I also look at it differently because I have the means. I tell myself, if I have the means, why not? If I can make their life better, why not? I told my children. In the past, as a first generation kid, my first thing I need to look at is get a job with a proper salary,build up my family. But after I have the means, I told my children, your first priority is not to get a job. You study. You learn what you need to learn. So in school, you are not under pressure to study hard, to excel, you know. You see, you try your best. Then after that, when you come out, even when you go out to the career field, you work,You don't have to subject yourself to all the pressure of society, certain type of very weird bosses who demand a lot and put pressure on you. You don't have to, but you have to be like sincere. Things that are according to your Dhamma understanding or principle, which you cannot do, you should tell them. Don't have the fear of losing that job. I say, what have you got to lose?You don't need to support anybody. You don't need really much money to survive unless you are ambitious and want to create a type of life that you look forward to. Otherwise, the house is there, the car is there, but they didn't go overseas. Then I already have the basic thing for them. I say, unless you want to upgrade and have better life, everything is there for you already. So you just leave. You need to study, go for a master, PhD, or you go. I will fund you. But whatever that you need for your own life beyond what is being given, it's up to you. You can afford, why not? If their salary is very high and you really can afford that, like Sui want to buy her dream car, she can afford, why not? This is life. Then my son also has his own way of looking at life. I encourage, I say, yeah, go ahead. Why not? They want to breed the dog. I say, go ahead. Yeah, if that is what they want. But my wife has very bad experience about dog. So he said, man, it is just like So it depends on how things evolve because maybe it's meant to be. So finally, my wife said, the dog very.Haoming. And my son also called that dog Zhen Haoming, really Haoming dog. Because they really take care of her, send the dog to the vet, get the best treatment, then buy a lot of nice things for them. Of course, food, dog food is one more thing. But care for them. And the dog really, oh, good life. They even send the dog for what? Swimming. Manicure. So these are the new things that I never experienced before too. I also don't quite fancy or understand, but they have their life. So I gave them that option and that choice. So this is maybe a good topic. Well, most of us, we are going through the stage where our children are quite mature and they want to do their own thing. So I think today what you brought up is a good topic, Alicia. Pass it to you. Okay, anything else you want to ask?
Thank you, Bradio. 还有就是刚才 Bradio 讲到 Dana。Dana, 最近我们有一个朋友就是在 India 的，然后他的整个 general store 就是 provision shop 这样子的杂货店，然后就被火烧了。然后就 Susan 就 initiate， Susan 也认识他嘛， Susan 就 initiate 去collect 一点 fund to help him and his family。然后我就 assist 咯。
好啊。That's why I was told Mrs. Ho also donated.
Mrs. Ho, 还有 all the Kayonitas, and supportive 去帮这个朋友。
所以 there is condition,
所以我很感恩他们，而且在这个过程，我就是我没有说怎样去很想去抽多少钱，就是我 let it be。
Yeah, whatever you all can raise.
对，
you,
是我就每
you just
每一天就
what you can do. No need to like purposely.
Yeah.
I don't think they need that much too. Because in India things are cheap. So it's to assist them to turn around to get back to their previous business.condition so that they can go on with their life again. Then they will have joy, they will have gratitude. Then they understand how this condition are possible. Means when you all are there, he must be sincere and he must have treated you all well. So that's why you all can have that reciprocal treatment towards him.
对，我想在这里借这个机会，就是感恩所有凯亚米达的 support 和帮助，让他们有，让他们可以 you know at least ease 他们在这个很困难的时候，
困难的时候，
对对对，so那就是差不多我的 sharing 了。
Okay, maybe I just want to share my progress a bit on meditation.
Good.
Actually, my progress has been a little bit challenging.
Yeah, that's good.
Especially over the past 1 month. When I try to sit down to meditate, and I cannot settle down.
Yeah.
Unlike last time, it was quite fast.
Correct, correct.
So until recently, I listened to the recordings.Especially sharing by Sister Po Ching. Sister Ling B. And I realized they also experienced the same thing.
The best and all those things.
So,
it will come.
Suddenly I just realized I'm very grateful to be part of this Kayamita. I have Kayamita friends. So, I'm also together with this journey with all of you. I'm very grateful, number one. And with Kayamita friends, I also can also listen to Dharma sharing and also sharing by Brother Teo.
Yes.
And I can listen and understand the Dharma slowly. So initially, I thought I was a little bit, what's happening? How come I cannot do it? But then actually, it's normal.
It's normal.
Just continue to do. So
the condition will arise, for death to happen.
And the lesson that I learned over the last, especially last week, was to continue doing it sincerely.
Maintain the faith.
And persevere and endure. Just go through it. Be with it.
Be with it. No need to worry. Just let things be.
Let it arise.
The mind
will come
down
arise.
Again. Just let it be. Means you don't have a choice that I must meditate and become like that. No more. Then when you have given up on that, then you will experience every moment the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then every arising is just that pristine beauty of the moment. Then you start to understand when you are able to accept things as they are, the peace come back. Then the true mind come back. Then your awareness come back. Everything come back. But when you are rejecting it or opposing it or wanting things your way, via true memory, you recall, oh, last night I can do this, I can do that. Then that wrong thought, that will be the one that conditions your mind to have doubt, the lack of peace. Like you initially inquire, hey, you, what happened? How come like that? Last night very fast, I settled down. Why now cannot? Because it is a test. Then sometimes it is the condition. Because condition like that, things will be like that. That's the reason why the Buddha say, be at peace with all condition. But that is the reality. At that moment, condition all set. If you cannot accept the reality of the moment, then suffering will be the result. That is the Dhamma. And then when you understand, you become at peace. Then you can just let things be. Then what you learn is very useful. Be with it. Then the whole thing come back to you. And it become very beautiful. That's why you have to be very patient. You have to be very sincere with the faith and persevere. Then everything will fall back into place. Then the true mind will surface. The awareness nature will come back to you. Then all this understanding will start to move again, unfold again. So, sadhu.
Thank you, Matthew. So, also, when I also start to, I think especially the last 2 weeks, I also do not know why, but I just suddenly that, hey, I just need to continue to read the yellow card.
Yes, that one is very important, the Bodhisattva vow.
And every morning I just do, do and do and do.
Yeah.
I just, because I don't know how to explain. The last month when I listened to some of the recording, I just cannot understand. I just don't know why.
Okay.
I just only hear words by word, but I don't know the whole sentence.
But now the picture starts to fall into place.
I just continue to do
after you do the vow, the yellow, following the yellow card, the understanding will dawn upon you. Where all these are connected. Then you realize, wow, cultivation is so beautiful. All these are needed to complement your understanding and your cultivation to support you to walk this path to fulfill the perfection of 10 paramitas to realize Samasambuddhahood, and they are all related. So all this understanding, they will slowly, slowly fall into place and develop to become beautiful. Then the joy will arise. A lot of inner joy, inner understanding will unfold. Then like you mentioned, last time they are only words, but now the meaning stand up. So this is very good. Even Ingby starts to realize that and go deep into it. So now he is checking all the miscellaneous vow, the various type of review, make sure everything is properly developed. Like I mentioned the last sharing, if this life, if this condition, you cannot develop the understanding until it's a part of you, then you don't stand a chance when you arise in future. Because unless this life you have the clear understanding, then you make the aspiration, the vow, then you invoke our merit for causes and conditions for you to continuously have this right view and right understanding life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come. Then only this very firm power of merits and affinity, understanding and condition can be planted. The Bodhi mind can be planted deeply so that this understanding will nurture and surface when you arise. So this life is very important. Contemplate, reflect until very, very clear, then determine like Ingby, wants to have this understanding. then do all this cultivation so that it will support you in time of trial, tribulation, and all those things. So these are very beautiful understanding. So sadhu to you for moving into that line of cultivation. The yellow card is very important.
The yellow card is very good.
Yeah, it's a gem. It's a gem.
Last year I used to do it, then halfway, I think earlier, end of the year, I stopped. Then now I continue back.
Yeah, you will continue. Yeah, as you continue, as you progress, you develop deeper understanding.
And then after, I think the last 2 days, I come back to my meditation. I just sit down and then I relax. I think relax is very important.
Yes, very important.
Feel my forehead and feel my eyes.
Body, yes, relax every part. Yes.
And then the legs, every part, like one by one.
Correct,
and
then correct.
Also to send metta to family, my children.
Then you will settle down very fast. Yeah.
Yes, then after that, settle down.
Yeah.
And then within very fast, I think I just like nothing. Just nothing.
Yeah, nothing. No thought, nothing. Aware. Nothing.
But it was very short. Very short. Then after that, I think because my body too tired, I went to sleep. That's okay. I wake up, it's okay. I feel refreshed.
You're right.
I was happy. Don't have other feelings. Or this is the process.
Because that is your true mind. The tranquility, the stillness. Because when there is no more sankhara, your nature can know. Everything is so quiet until so still that the awareness know that there is no more movement. It's just the aware. It can be at your heartbeat or any point within your body. It just stay there. Then no movement at all. That is the true mind. That is the pure mind. And it's very difficult for cultivator or even normal person to have that moment of pure thought. That is the pure thought that the Diamond Sutta speaks about, or the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta speak about union. To have a moment of pure thought without any content of consciousness is full of blessing. That wholesomeness is limitless compared to a thought, where the thought is with the content, the egoic mind, the evil roots. This pure thought is free of the evil root, is a pure state. And that one, the parami, the wholesomeness, the merits, is like the Buddha mentioned, 无量无边, limitless. So that pure thought, pure nature, to have the ability to realize it, is already a great, what they call progress or transformation. So ability to have that pure mind, even for a glimpse, a moment, is already very meritorious and wholesome. So cultivation, as you go deep into it, develop more understanding, you will experience all this. And the mind can just settle down and return to its original true state before the stirring. That's why ability to realize that true mind, that true nature, the awareness nature within is very important. Then stabilize that. Then you will know that one is the unconditioned. That one never died. Where I was never born. That is the eternal nature, always there. Without the mundane mind, the emotion, the wrong view, the thinking, the content of consciousness to cloud it, that nature is ever shining. Then that one you will understand when you have the ability to use it to meditate. That one can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can develop wisdom and awakening. So all these are very beautiful. Okay? Hello?
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
Really, very kind.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, there's one more thing I would like to share. Yeah, yeah. Just a very quick one is on dana. La. So I think the last 2 weeks, coincidentally, I also did some donation.
Oh, very good.
And one of them is to Kiwanis. I just don't know why, but I just feel like I think I just want to give. La. Just donated.
Yeah, very wholesome. Yeah.
So yesterday, 2 days ago, sorry, there was an incident at my home. My wife couldn't get into the house because the gate was spoiled.
Oh, okay.
And I was outside and I couldn't come back because my car was at the workshop.
Yeah.
So she was home, stranded alone outside.
Oh, okay. So
then I thought, then maybe try and call the auto gate guy and come. And then he responded and he came within 5 minutes. And then
that's very good, very wholesome.
You're very lucky. He's just nearby only. He's actually just around the corner and he has all the materials, you know. Then I felt like very kanan also. Sometimes when we give sincerely, sometimes we also can for people come and help.
Kindness and goodness, all this will come back to you. Yeah, this is what law of karma is all about. You reap what you sow. When you are kind to people, people will respond equally coming back to you. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, so this is my personal experience for today's sharing.
Sadhu. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Oh, very good. So today's sharing by Alicia and Colin also both very good. Yeah, it brings forth condition for Dhamma to flow. These are the relevant day-to-day life topic that we should develop understanding. Especially Chui's question on Dana Parami, it triggered off the condition for us to receive this type of teaching or Dhamma. Well, this Dhamma I shared during the early days, I remember, 2004, 2005, those years. But not many people understand. But at that time, they were very engrossed with making dana. Everywhere they go, they want to do dana, make offering to monk and all those things. So dana was a favorite topic during the early year. Then during the 80s, I remember, early 90s also same, Reverend Suwano always talked about pausi. In Mandarin, it's called Pusi Dana Parami. Pusi is you make offering, generosity, dana. So that time, very popular. So everybody was talking about where to do dana. So to them, dana means offer food. But they don't know dana is generosity. Aikito dana bo. You want to do dana or not? Then later on, we learn the other word. We like patek. We call nona. Nobody say, can I nona? Yeah, they hold dana. Sometimes they are the host. They host the dana for the offering to be made to the temple or to the monks or what. Then we say, okay, we nona means we patek. So we just contribute whatever amount, small amount or what. Then they rejoice. Then it was really fun. So at that time, everybody was learning. But then later on, when the understanding is there, then when I started to come out and share and teach, I teach differently. So that people know what dana is all about. That's why the teaching is so beautiful. Dana, sila, bhavana. The Buddha always teach in that sequence. Then Noble Eightfold Path is always Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. This is basically the meditation as taught by the Buddha, Noble Eightfold Path. Then you need the Dana Parami to make all this more easily accept, not to say accept, more easily available, the condition for Sila, Samadhi, and Panya to take place. Means you need Dana Parami. Dana Parami is very important. That's why generosity, like I mentioned just now, is the first perfection that cultivator need to perfect. Actually, without Dana Parami, a lot of your life is not smooth, not in order. A lot of people ignore Dana Parami. They just focus on going to retreat, meditation and all those things, and of course enlightenment. But they forgot about the other important understanding of having virtue. When you develop the meditative understanding, when you have wisdom and understanding, after you straighten your view, after you have understood the law of dependence, then you realize conditions are very important, affinity are very important. That's why you develop Dana Parami, you develop and cultivate affinity with great beings and all. So all this understanding comes from understanding the Dhamma. That's how it manifests. That's how my teaching, sharing come about, the yellow card, everything. Yeah, the whole thing is one complete big picture. When you understand the big picture from like the mind map that my daughter developed, you go through that one, it links all of the essential Dhamma, the teaching, everything. Then you realize cultivation become very easy, very clear. Every stage you go into, the mind map actually give you the important understanding that you must focus on or develop the understanding on. So everything has been expanded. Even Noble Eightfold Path, the Four Right Effort, then the other essential Dhamma, the Three Evil Roots, the advice of the Buddha, the Law of Karma, the Three Right View. That's how everything started. And they are all connected and related. So all these understandings is what a cultivator really need. And from there, you develop your cultivation accordingly. You will understand very clearly. Then the stages of Dhamma, Pariyatti, leading to Patipatti and Pativida will be understood. Then the three turning leading to the three type of wisdom. Oh, Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. All this you understand. Then why must contemplate? Why must reflect? Why must inquire? Then all the Pali word, Dana Sila Bhavana. Then all the Anusati, Nupasana, and all the various essential Dhamma. Everything. The Pali words stand out, become very clear, like Sankara, become very clear to you. Then even Vijnanam, and the various Pali words for mind, Chitta, Mana, I talk the same, Mano, Mana is self-conceit. So all this you will start to understand. Okay, very good.
Wow. 我想问 brother， 就而且我想 report 一下我的 meditation， 刚才忘记。有一个早上，我早上很早起来 meditate，就很快就 settle down， 很清晰的那个 awareness， 就是，但呢，它就是好像。 我只能用形容词形容， 它就好像会 怎样讲， expand 到好像没有 borderline 这样子。
Yeah, very spacious awareness.
对，然后 它就有那个四个字，好像就是它就好像怎样讲，它就是好像无边无际的这样子，就是
The Dhamma will appear. Yes.
然后他就好像会明白到心包太虚这样一个四个字这样子，然后就是这样子。
Yeah, yeah, you understand.
So,
because the nature of the true mind is so different, the oneness nature. Yeah. 它会现出来的, no problem. But more important is the wisdom part, the understanding. That one more important. Whatever that can give rise to wisdom is the real cultivation. Otherwise, the experience that you experience is based on condition. When condition is there, you can experience that type of mind. It may help you develop wisdom if you have the understanding. Otherwise, it's just an experience, but never make the mistake of clinging on to the experience by equating fantastic experience as you have progressed. As long as the wisdom is still not there, that so-called experience is just part and parcel of the way cultivation. So more important is to develop wisdom, understanding of the awareness nature deeper and deeper, then come out into daily life. The daily life, daily mindfulness, sati sambhajana, is very important. Without that, you cannot see a subtle delusion. That's why all our formal meditation alone is not enough. You must see all this subtle defilement behind. The mundane mind before it really collapses after you have developed the wisdom. You need to go through that phase of daily mindfulness to understand how it stirs, how it reacts, how it comes out with the views, opinion and the conditioning, the memory, the sankhara activity, everything. Then the day Christina sent out the Jai Krishnamurti code is very good, very, very good. Teach you how to observe the choiceless awareness, where not only you don't make choice, there's a lot of other things you also don't do. Maybe I read to you all, it will help. So this one is very important. To know oneself, means self-knowledge, is to observe what one thinks. 听到吗? 你的sankara and all those things, 好像我刚才跟你讲, how one feels, not just superficially, but to be deeply aware of what is, without condemnation, means without the egoic mind to condemn, without any judgment, without duality, without 分别心, without evaluation or comparison, means analysis or reasoning. He said, try it. And you will see how extraordinary difficult it is for a mind that has been trained for centuries to do all this comparison, means your memory, your views, your opinion, and your habitual tendency, your belief system, all things. Because for centuries or maybe millennium, to compare, to condemn, to judge, to evaluate, to stop that whole process and simply to observe what is, which is the reality. So that you can understand what one is, means your true nature. The form and mind is not the real you. So this is how you meditate. To really understand oneself, means the two aspects of you. The mundane aspect, which is the form and mind, and the true nature. So to know oneself is to observe what one thinks, means your thought process, your sankhara, then what one feel, your feeling, your emotion, your whatever mind states. Then not just superficially, but to go deeply, to be deeply aware of what is, without the mundane mind interfering, means the condemnation, judgment, views, opinion, means to see things as they are. This is meditation. That's why I say, stabilize your awareness to observe. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything in the name of meditation. Just aware. Then you will understand. You will understand who are you, what are you, how your mind stirs, how the content of consciousness went in, how the wrong thought conditioned you into evil tendencies. So all this you will understand. So this is real meditation. So what I want to explain to Alicia is, it's not the experience, it's the understanding that arises through observation, through understanding what is going on in life within your form and mind. When you understand yourself, you understand others. When you understand others, you understand the world. Otherwise, you cannot understand the world. The world is the world. Condition like that, things below that. That is the beauty of Dhamma. Okay, Alicia, 明白啊? Silent to observe is not the special mind state that you experience in formal meditation. That one is to assist you to realize cessation, nibbana. That one, maybe you will need to develop it later. Then initially is to stabilize the awareness nature, you need the formal meditation. Well, your senses are not active during that time, so it's easier to do it, to meditate, to stabilize that. Then after that, you must come out of it into daily life to see all the subtle movement, the feeling, the emotion, the thought process. Through that observation, you will understand. Means observe without the observer. You understand not? The observer is the thought, the egoic mind. That's why it's this awareness that is aware. There is no egoic mind to condemn, to create reality, to have judgment, to analyze, discriminate, to give reason, like a lot of people do. Like just now you mentioned, why my son like this and like that. Then all these things are the mark that we introduce through the mundane mind. We created them. So observation is to see all this without the mind, the mundane mind coming in. So all this is daily mindfulness. You cannot develop that type of wisdom through all the formal sitting and all those things. No. Well, most of the time under that condition, your mind is very quiet, very still, aware. But during that time, where your spiritual faculty is there, your mental hindrances are all at bay. It cannot surface. That's why you have to come out into light. It's only in the midst of light that your mundane mind can do all those funny things, stir, react, and create all these things for you to see. So without the daily mindfulness, you cannot silence your mind to observe and to understand, and you cannot straighten your view. You cannot insight into reality. You cannot see things as they are. That's why my daughter got something to share. Yeah.
Hi, Amitofo, can I meet us, Sister Alicia? Actually, what triggered me to share was the scenario is actually very similar to Sister PG's scenario about the rain. And then it relates also to J. Krishnamurti's quote that we just shared about judgment. So the simplified scenario about the rain was that there was a preference for no rain versus rain. And then also the judgment that caused the negativity. From this case, right, that this scenario, it could be the preference that staying with me is better than staying outside.
Yeah.
Picking a simpler house is better than buying an extravagant house. So these are the judgments that are conditioning the negativity. And actually, all these judgments are created by our preference. And if we choose to prefer it in the opposite direction, we will see the benefits of the opposite. Like how if we choose to see rain is better than not raining, we will see how rain actually can be good. And then if moving out, if we choose to see that moving out is better than being here, then you'll see that the independence it affords, the possibility of them making the mistakes and learning from them. So there's always two sides of the coin, like how COVID-19 can be good, can be bad, depending how you look at it. There's no definite right or wrong for one scenario. There's always pros and cons. So that's why I see that the word judgment struck me from J. Krishnamurti's quote. We create our judgment of the scenario. That's why we cannot accept any other answer as better than what we think. And then that causes the negativity and the conflict, and then the unwillingness to listen to the possibility that it could be better for them. For them to think this way is better for them. Yeah, so everybody has their own karma and their own mix. And then I genuinely believe that, you know, everybody will make a decision they feel is better for themselves. They won't choose something worse if they knowingly have the information available to them. They will pick what they prefer and they feel is best for them, and then we will pick what we feel is best for us. So we can't really apply our judgments onto other people's decisions. That's what I feel. Thank you, Brother.
Okay, very good, Sandhya. So we had all this understanding unfolding. So like Jay Krishnamurti said, my daughter catched the word judgment. That's why when you start to have judgment, means your views, your opinion, your conditioning all come in. That's why with judgment there is condemnation. You start to condemn. Well, you believe in right and wrong. Now, I always say, right and wrong exist, but it pertains to the conditioned world. Conditioned world has duality, has all this Dhamma thing, has the Four Noble Truth. Birth, old age, sickness and death, everything it has. That is the condition. So the mundane mind also pertains to the conditioned world. Because the mundane mind, the formal mind, with mental intention is subject to karma, the law of karma. So when we understand this, we develop wisdom. Meditation is to develop the silent mind, the true mind, to observe. Without condemnation means without the mundane mind, without the memory, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, the egoic mind, means you observe with the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. That one observe. That's why without the egoic mind, everything is clear, lucid, clarity, beautiful. Then you can experience the non-duality. Then you realize without that mundane mind creating all those funny things of judgment, condemnation, duality, views, opinion, conditioning, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, you are so beautiful. Without thought, you are most beautiful. Your true nature. Realize that. Understand that. Then you will know that and the mundane mind are two different things. That's why everything starts from understanding the mind. Sing Wei Gen Ben. You start with understanding the mind. There are two minds. One is the true mind. The other one is the condition arising, mundane mind, thinking mind, the egoic mind. See that, observe that, understand that. Then you will come to know the five aggregate of form and mind is empty, not real, like the Buddha said. These are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, karmically conditional for you to come to this world, this existential world, to live life, to develop the cultivation, to fulfill your vows, your karma and all that. So when you understand all this clearly, then you know how to live life. You understand the unconditioned and the condition. That is what teaching the Dhamma is all about. So today's sharing is very beautiful. Yeah? So you can understand all this, which is the same thing that I try to express all this while. Then your wisdom will grow. Okay, Alicia?
As my dad was explaining, one sentence came up, and then I realized underlying all this judgment, right, it's one thing, a grasping to control the outcome. It is actually us wanting to influence the outcome that motivates all this to happen in our mind. Our thoughts.
Yes, the very underlying part is the fear of them making a mistake. That's very true. Sorry. Thank you, Brother Gio.
Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Just now I saw God Lord with a thumbs up. Oh, he rejoiced. That's why this sharing will become more and more beautiful when more and more people develop understanding. Well, all this judgment is the mundane mind, the egoic mind that want things their way, which is not nature's way. Nature's way is thing is just the way it is, no right, no wrong. They are the way they are. So it will manifest. When you interfere, conflict will arise. Misunderstanding will arise. Where you want things your way, which is not what they think or what they believe in. So all this judgment or what we call views and opinion, they come from the egoic mind that doesn't have the understanding where we think we exist. That's why we want to talk about the I, the me, the personality, the ego, and then the evil roots, grasping, clinging, all of the emotion, they will surface, the greed, hatred and delusion, where it comes from that personality, the egoic mind, that wants to own things, have things, wants to be right, and telling you, this is my life, why you want to interfere? Because like my doctor said, the way you perceive it, you put your shoe in the other side, then you start to understand them better. Otherwise, you always think from your side, "Ayo, why my children? Why are they this way? Or why my neighbor are that? Or why my loved ones? They cannot understand me, how I sacrifice, how I do all this for them." That is according to your views, opinion, and perceived reality, where you think you have sacrificed a lot. That is according to your egoic thought, your selfishness, where you think this is good for them. This is what you think they must do. But the world is not what you think. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. They have their own opinion, their views, and their own karma. They do things differently. They perceive things differently. So we have to accommodate all this understanding so as we can have the wisdom to go above, to transcend duality, to transcend views, opinion and all things. Means when you live in the existential world, there is duality, you must understand, you must accept. But you transcend them in the sense that you do not fall into delusion, deceived by them. That's why this mundane mind is for you to use, but not to be deceived by it, not to be dragged into the duality, the conflict, the misunderstanding, the argument, the condemnation, and all things. This one is delusion. So, observation to develop this wisdom and understanding, to straighten your view, is what the Dhamma is all about. Observe through mindfulness. Silence your mind. Then when there is no one inside there to do anything, then you start to realize the mundane mind is the mundane mind. True delusion is still react and it condition negativity. That's how suffering come about. Then when you understand that, you understand the noble truth. The cause of it arising is security. That condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to these views, opinion and conditioning. And the condemnation and the judgment. So without this, you are beautiful. You are just the way you are. They are just the way they are. Then there is suchness, the reality. Then when you can come to term with the reality and be at peace with the reality, then you realize life is so simple, so beautiful. The acceptance liberates the mind. Then you just live. There's no reality. He know you, he know me. Everything just dependent originating. Come and go, come and go. So when you have this understanding, then what my teacher shared with me become very beautiful. Only mighty nature rolling by. If we choose accept everything as natural, then we will be at peace. So all these words surface and become very beautiful. Then like the Diamond Sutta, each year you wave up, your condition dhamma are like that. They are dreamlike, zhu mong, huan pao yi. So all this surface when you understand and it become very beautiful. Okay.